Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront is celebrating Women's History Month by featuring some dynamic divas in TV, film, and media. Melissa Ingram, general manager of Aspire TV, actress, producer, and director Terry J. Vaughn, and PR maven April Love are all here. I'll also be playing classic tunes from the late great Nat King Cole, whose centennial birthday is tomorrow, March 17th. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for background actors of all ethnicities for the new pilot, Heart of Life. The project is in need of men and women in their early to late 20s to portray 1990s street pedestrians. The men must be average height with a 36 waist and clean-shaven or neatly trimmed beards. The women must also be average height with a dress size no larger than 10 and with one hair color. No modern looks, please. If this is you, please submit an email with your name, phone number, and recent photo to heart@centralcasting.com with 1990 Street Peds in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, watch a sneak peek of the new D.L. Hughley Show at WCLK.com. The new TV One series premieres this Monday night at 11 p.m. The show will dive headfirst into hot topics of the day and feature Hughley along with his co-host Jasmine Sanders. Both will also dish on the latest news in entertainment, pop culture, and what's trending on social media. The show airs Monday through Thursday. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange-colored sky, flash, bang, alakazam, wonderful you came by. I was humming a tune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange-colored view, flash, bang, alakazam, I gotta look at you.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My first segment features PR maven April Love. She's been a behind-the-scenes media star for nearly 20 years here in Atlanta and has worked with some of the biggest names in music, television, film, and unscripted programming. I caught up with her this week to chat about her amazing journey, lessons learned, and much more.
April Love, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for having me.
Get you in here for a very long time. Actually, I was supposed to have you in here last year, but you didn't answer your phone.
Ray, so this is how we're starting? I'm notorious for that, that phone.
Yeah.
You know, I set an intention this year to really, I put this crazy voicemail on my phone. They're like, what is that? I said, I check this thing twice a week. So if you would like expeditious feedback, then text me.
Yeah.
If not, email me, you know, because the phone, for a minute, the phone was giving me anxiety. That thing rings all day long. I'm like, okay. But
yeah. So this week's show, we're putting a little shine on African-American women who are doing amazing things in television, media, film, the arts, that whole thing. And because it is Women's History Month, mm-hmm. we just wanted to, you know, just have some conversations Aww. With a good number of you guys that are doing just amazing things throughout the city of Atlanta. And you are a PR maven. You have done it all.
Come
You've
on,
seen
maven.
It all. You are.
I love
You've
it.
Planned it all.
Okay.
And so when did you know that PR is what you wanted to do for
I
the
know?
Rest of your life?
Do I even know now?
Do you know that?
No.
It's still a question?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not something I would per se that I want to do the rest of my life.
Okay.
I think I want to do elements of it. Because even when I take meetings and take on clients now, my whole onboarding is making them know that doing PR with April Love is totally different than other people. I have the base and the foundational tenets of doing PR. I get it. It is to bring you publicity, exposure, and that sort of thing. But we have moved into a digital age. We have moved into an age where you can kind of integrate so many things mm-hmm. into publicizing yourself. I don't like to just be stuck in like one way of doing things. I've never been that way. I'm not that way in my life, and I'm definitely not that way in my career. So I'm very selective. That's why I'm actually an entrepreneur in the first place and don't still work within the corporate structure, because I want to be very selective about who I work with. So publicity for me was like a natural transition, even though I, you know, studied marketing and that sort of thing from, you know, college. And then I had internships and I was able to try my hand at a lot of different things because I really started in entertainment early in the music business, working with Universal and Dallas Austin. And so I had an opportunity to kind of try things out. And I said, you know what? Public relations is exactly what it is, relating to people. And I'm good at that. And I own the fact that that was like a God-given gift for me. So I was like, well, let's make a career out of it, but let's put a twist on it. So I do PR 2.0. And once I was able to kind of like embrace what being a publicist was to me, then I was able to actually, I think, do the best job and realize this is something I could do for the long haul.
Yeah. Now, what project took you from Who Is She to Here She Is?
Ooh. You like that, huh? Mm-hmm. Can you say that one more time?
What project mm-hmm. took you from Who Is She to Here She Is?
Wow. Let me think of when I was Who Is She. No, I'm just kidding. No, I am going to have to pay homage to the world of reality TV. Even though I'd worked with some amazing artists in music, like I said, the Dallas Austins and the Wu-Tang Clan and Monica. And yeah. I mean, some really stellar talent.
Those are iconic names.
Yeah.
In music.
Yeah, having, you know, and also having not only been in the realm of publicity, but like I said, I've worked in marketing and I've created brand partnerships and I've managed artists like PJ Morton. And, you know, just I'm always looking
Grammy
for that.
Grammy winner.
Grammy PJ winner.
Morton. That's right. Yeah.
Member of Maroon 5. Yeah. So I've always been like, okay, I'm looking for that amazing talent, that talent that's like, you know, multidimensional, not singular. Oh, I can sing. No. What else can you do? Because right. then I'm drawn to you. So when this became kind of like, I kind of like compare it to hip hop because they said, you know, that was a trend. That was a fad. Hip hop is going to go away. Same thing with reality TV, unscripted television. Oh, people are going to get tired of that. And, you know, I've worked with reality TV since I'm thinking the onset. You know, I've worked with different projects that I would actually cast for. But I was very immersed in the launch of The Real Housewives. And before it wasn't even called The Real Housewives when I initially kind of jumped on board. So working with the producer and creator, Princess Loftus, who I've worked with throughout the whole decade of Housewives, right. as well as with talent early on, doing publicity for Lisa Wu and NeNe Leakes and that sort of thing, not realizing and going on to work with Carlos King, eventually the executive producer of the show. I've worked throughout that franchise, and I think that I became the reality girl. So a lot of people, even around that, like I, you know, kind of worked early on with like Derek Blanks. I was the one that was starting the whole celebrity makeup artist, celebrity photographer. I'm trying to tell you, nobody had that in a press release before. Wow. I sent that out. A lot of that Atlanta celebrity this and celebrity that, it was something that I really intentionally set out to do because I felt like the people that I was working with weren't your run-of-the-mill talent, once you're run-of-the-mill makeup artist or stylist or photographer. If I was representing them, they were celebrities. It was only a matter of time. So yeah. I kind of spoke it into existence. So I think that decade ago, when reality was really getting its, you know, footprint all over, I think that people really started to kind of acknowledge the work that I was doing. Because in music, you work as a team. So it's not, well, I was working as a team. So it was not like April's doing that. It's like, we're doing that. We're behind this. We're the machine on that. But when I started to do other things and create my own projects and, you know, manage and brand manage artists and work on projects like Housewives, people started to say, oh, April Love. Oh, let's call April Love. Oh, she knows the people. She knows this person. She knows that person. So.
Well, April Love, thank you for being a guest today on Upfront. And I just wanted to personally say how much I appreciate you helping me when I started my brand several years ago and just always being a face that if April Love is not there, it's like, okay, what are we doing?
Or, right.
or is this the right event to be, you know, because if you're there, then I know that it's, you know, it's
so
a real event.
Much.
It's a real event, you know, so I appreciate your support. And again, much success to you in 2019.
Thank you. Much success to you. And thank you again for having me.
You can learn more about Ask April Love through her weekly podcast every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube and Facebook Live.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E
is even more than anyone that you adore can love, is all that I can give to you.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
My second guest is award-winning actress turned producer turned director Terry J. Vaughn. Her TV and film company, Nina Holiday Entertainment, is making major strides in Georgia's film and television industry, and we caught up with her to chat about their newest productions and more. Terry J. Vaughn, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. So you were a guest during my first season of the show, and we were so excited to have you on. That was part of your directorial debut of Digital Lives Matter.
Uh-huh.
And we're so happy to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, everyone knows you for being in front of the camera. And by the way, this entire show is dedicated to Women's History Month, and we're talking to amazing women such as yourself who are doing phenomenal things in television, film, music, the arts, theater, that whole thing. But mm-hmm. you have a company, a film company, production company, Nina Holiday, that you have partnered with Cass Seeger Beatles. And wanted to explain that because people hear that Nina Holiday, you know, this film is brought to you by Nina Holiday. But I don't think people have ever heard the reason why it's called Nina Holiday.
Well, yes, Cass Seeger's, now Seeger's Beatles. When I met her, she was just Seeger's.
Yeah.
When we met about 14, 15 years ago, she had just written her first novel, and I was acting on in a independent film being shot here in Atlanta, Georgia,
okay.
which I was still living in L.A., though.
Right.
And she just happened to be the costumer of, she's very talented. She does tons of things.
Oh, she's a Renaissance woman. She does it all.
So she was a costumer on this independent movie, and she had told me she had just written her first novel, and she asked me if I would read it, and I was like, of course. So I read her book, and I fell in love with her book. And so when I got back to L.A., I called her. I was like, have you ever thought about making this into a television series?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, well, you know, would you be interested in that? And so from that point on, we kind of just bonded together in trying to bring that story to life. And so we pitched it to different television networks. And we just kept getting pushback. And the biggest response that we were getting is that, oh, well, this voice doesn't sound like a black person.
Wow.
And we were like, what? But she wrote it.
Yeah.
She's very black. What are you talking about?
This exactly.
She talks all the time. So, you know, that kind of just lit a fire under our butts. We were like, you know what? We have to take control of telling our story the way that we know they should be told. Instead of having someone else tell our stories from their perspective and from what very little they know about being a black person, being a black woman, we need to do more of telling our own stories. And so we formed our company, Nina Holiday Entertainment, and because we knew we were blazing a trail, we were like, you know what, we're going to name our company after these two trailblazing women, one being Billie Holiday, who I was a huge fan of. I would listen to her music all the time. And Cass was a huge fan of Nina Simone. So we just mixed their names together and came up with Nina Holiday. And we were like, oh, we love it.
Yeah.
We named our company after that.
Wow. I love that story. And I'm like, you know, we're WCLK Atlanta's Jazz Station. I was like, I want our listeners to know when they see Nina Holiday, that's why it's called that. So I wanted you to tell that story. You ladies have been really busy from that point on. Girlfriend's Getaway, When Love Kills, which actually was nominated for a NAACP Image Award last year. And then most recently, Merry Wishmas, that featured David and Tamela Mann, that was shot right here in Georgia. What do you guys look for when you're putting together a project? What gets a yes from Nina Holiday?
Well, you know, we've been really fortunate because we are content creators. We come up with ideas. Cass, as you know, is a writer.
Right.
So she's written most of the scripts that we have produced. Not all of them, but most of them.
Okay.
And we have, because we have been doing this for so long, we have really great relationships with some of the networks. And so a lot of times they'll come to us and ask, hey, do you guys have anything that, you know, would be good for Women's History Month? Or do you have anything that's good for the holidays? Do you have any Christmas movies? So we'll create what is needed. We'll come up with a story, come up with an idea. We'll pitch it to the network. They're like, yes, we love it. Cass will write the script. We go back and forth with some rewrites. And that's kind of how we've been able to rock and roll. It's like we've been creating what is needed for the networks. And then there's been times when, like, for instance, I really wanted to do a movie with my girlfriends. I wanted to, and this was after I'd seen Bridesmaids.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my God, I want to do a movie with my girlfriends about us, you know, taking a trip or doing something. And that I told Cass, I was like, I need to do something like that. I want to play a character where I'm with my girlfriends, blah, 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 blah. And we came up with a story for Girlfriend's Getaway and pitched it to the network, got my girlfriends attached to Garcelle Bouvet, yeah, Atkins, Melinda Williams, and we were able to make that movie.
And you were pregnant at the time for one of the films, right?
Yeah. You know what? When we first created it and we first pitched it, I wasn't pregnant. So the original script was not me being pregnant.
Yeah.
But by the time we got ready to shoot it, I was very pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. You
and, you know, at first it was like, oh, okay, well, who are we going to get to play that role? And I was like, whoa. Yeah. We're not going to get anybody to play that role. What we're going to do is we're going to rewrite that in the character that she's pregnant.
And that was so funny because you rarely see, and especially with that film, because there was a lot of hijinks going on, a lot of stuff going on, but you rarely see a pregnant woman in that role. So I thought it was so cute the way, you know, the way the story played out. And I was just like, Terry is rolling with the punches, because that was a lot for you to do.
Oh, yeah.
And being
we were
pregnant.
In Trinidad.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were in Trinidad. And I have to share this. When I first landed and I was waiting for my luggage, they lost my luggage.
Oh, my gosh.
And it had all my vitamins, all my pregnancy vitamins in it. And that was a huge lesson for me to not check my vitamins.
Yeah.
With me. But, you know, it came after a couple of days, so I was fine.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's we've been really fortunate to be able to do that. And that's why I think it's so important for us to be able to tell our stories and for us to kind of have some control of the narrative, because, you know, I would have been written out of that movie had that been, you know, somebody else's production company. And now I'm pregnant. They're not going to take a chance on flying a pregnant woman, you know, out of the country to play a lead role in this comedy. And like you said, it was so, you know, it was very physical and all the things that we had to do. But, you know, I have great pregnancies. I can rock and roll.
Yeah.
I was like, I could do this.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, and I did. And I had a lot of fun. And it added to the movie.
It did.
To have to deal with this pregnant woman in the story.
So what's next for you? Because I know that you guys have already shot another Christmas film for TV One, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
For BET.
Okay.
So we have two more projects that we're developing and shooting for BET. One is around breast cancer.
Okay.
And another one is a like a romance drama. So we're in development for both of those, and you know, and then I'm in post for the Christmas movies that we just got finished. Doing Hip Hop Holiday is one, and then I also directed one for another production company.
Okay.
That we didn't produce, but I was hired as the director. So I'm in post for that and awaiting the release of another movie that I directed that will be airing on BET, and it was a romantic comedy. And it stars a lot of Atlanta-based actors.
I was really fortunate
that the production company, which is based out of Washington, D.C., Octet Productions, they trusted me to bring in actors that I knew from Atlanta. So you'll see a lot of Atlanta faces in that movie.
Wow. Well, Terry J. Vaughn, much success to you, and so happy for what you're doing in the trails that you are blazing. You and Cass Seeger Beatles are blazing through Nina Holiday and entertainment. And again, we're just so happy for you and can't wait to check out these movies this year.
Thank you, Ray. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
All right.
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving."
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment features Melissa Ingram, general manager of the Atlanta-based Aspire TV. The Spelman College alumnus and lawyer stopped by to chat about her journey to becoming one of three African-American women to run a national television network. Here's a portion of our conversation. Well, Melissa Ingram, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Thanks, Ray. I'm well. So glad to be here with you.
I'm happy that you're here. I've been trying to get you here for a long time.
I know. Finally made it happen.
Yeah. So I got to say thank you so much for allowing me. Last year, I had the opportunity to work with you guys during the American Black Film Festival, ABFF, and I went down as a red carpet correspondent
yes.
for your amazing show, In the Loop, and I had such a great time.
Oh, and you were amazing, Ray, so I need
you.
To be thanking you
no,
for it was, answering the call.
That trip was a much-needed trip,
oh,
but
good.
I had so much fun, and the festival was just, oh my gosh,
oh,
amazing.
It's the best Black film festival. It's the best film festival, period.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if people haven't experienced the American Black Film Festival, ABFF, happens every June prior to Father's Day weekend in Miami, and it is the best time to see yourself and to really be invigorated by what's happening in our industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So today's show, we're focusing on Black Girl Magic. As you know, March is Women's History Month.
Yes.
And just wanted to put a spotlight on amazing African-American women such as yourself who are doing wonderful things in the world of television, film, entertainment, music, all that kind of stuff. And you are the general manager of Aspire Network.
Yes, Aspire TV.
Did you ever see this for yourself when you were a student, an English major over at Spelman College?
Absolutely not. I was always that student and that kid that knew exactly what she wanted to do. I was a planner. So I knew when I left Los Angeles at 17 years of age to go to Spelman College, I was going to leave Spelman College, go back to California for law school, and I was going to be this entertainment attorney. I was going to primarily represent artists, music producers, and you know, publishing deals. And I never thought I would be in the space of television. But I do know, I'm a very spiritual person. You know this about me, right?
Yeah.
That I believe that God positions you and puts you in places because he has purpose for your life that he needs for you to fulfill. And so that's what he did with me, right? So I left law school, came back to Atlanta. Again, I never thought I'd be back in Atlanta. I thought I was going back to LA, right? I want to be in this music business. And started working for one of the largest Southeast law firms, Alston & Byrd here. Did labor and employment for 2.5 years. Knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do, right? And so I left and started working with the small boutique entertainment law firm here in Atlanta, representing artists, publishing deals, doing music clearances, and happened to get a call from a partner at Alston & Byrd who said, "Hey, I know you left. One of my great friends from law school is, you know, general counsel over at Gospel Music Channel. It's here in town. They're looking for a young attorney." And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll go meet with them. But I'm kind of good. I'm learning a lot and running my own business and learning a lot. Met with this attorney at Gospel Music Channel, and we hit it off. Great guy. And I didn't get the job. And I was like, okay, what's happening, Lord? And God was just like, it's not your time. Year later, reached out. Hey, do you remember me? He was like, absolutely, I remember you. Offered me a job, contracts manager. Wasn't counsel. It wasn't actually requiring somebody with a law degree, but God was positioning me. Mm-hmm. Got in there, never acted like this is just a contracts manager job. I brought all my skill set to it, and then promotion after promotion after promotion. Fast forward in 2012, Magic Johnson Enterprises partners with Gospel Music Channel and their boards to launch a network called Aspire TV. My boss goes over to BGM, and I follow him to run business and legal affairs. And then 3 years later after that, he leaves and I step into the position of GM.
Yeah. So let's, you know, you're among an elite group of African-American women that are currently GMs for television networks. I'm going to run that list down. Michelle Rice, who's over at TV One.
TV One and Cleo.
Tina Perry.
Yes.
Who's over at OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and then you.
Yeah.
So do you pinch yourself? Do you say, why me?
I don't say why me anymore. I did, Ray. I did used to question a lot. And God was very clear with me, because I've got work for you to do. I've given you a vision, and wherever God gives you vision, he gives provision. And so he has given me confirmation all along that this is the work that he has for me to do. He's given me a vision for this network. And he's blessed me with an amazing team that is behind the vision and executes it so well and believes in the vision. And so I've stopped asking the you know, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Like Congressman Cummings said, you need to ask, why is this happening for me? Mm. And so that has sort of been the lens in which I approach, you know, why is this happening for me? What is it, Lord, that you have for me to do?
Yeah.
And it's to change the face of television for a particular underserved audience, a remarkably special audience, the Black audience.
Yeah. You're listening to the voice of Melissa Ingram, General Manager for Aspire TV. You guys have such amazing programming. And, you know, we hear the term general manager. Let me go back. We hear the term general manager a lot. But take us through a day of what it's like to be a general manager for a network. Because it's very different from being the general manager of a store, right?
Yes.
Or even a business.
Yes.
You know, like an insurance company or something like that. So what is it like to be the general manager of a network?
National Cable Television Network. I wish there was a typical day, but I will tell you sort of what my responsibilities are.
Okay.
My biggest responsibility is to lead and develop the team.
Okay.
Serve them, right? So I have a team of 12 people of color. 11 of them are Black women.
Okay.
And so pouring into them, understanding where they're at, where their skill sets are, where they need to grow, highlighting them. Just helping them become the best version of themselves. I also oversee the brand. So I'm responsible for being out, talking to people like you, Ray, sharing the vision for the network, and also, you know, building relationships with talent and content producers. That's another large part. So we have, and I'm just going to throw a little plug in here because I adore her and I'm really excited to be working with her, Nakia Stevens, who is the founder of Damn Right Originals.
Okay.
They are a content creation company, millennial driven, but they are creating some really dope super short films.
Okay.
Original short films. And so we're partnering with them to start doing original Aspire short films. And so I'm responsible for going out, strategizing, and bringing in partnerships. Another big part of my job is to oversee programming. So I have a great head of programming who sort of casts a vision there and brings it to me. And then we sort of figure out, okay, how is this all going to roll out? What does this look like?
And how does it, because that's one of my questions, how do you determine if a program works or if it doesn't work?
Yeah. So there's filters that we have. Aspire has, as a Black culture and urban lifestyle network, we look at how the Black audience does these five things: eat, live, shop, play, and dream. So eat is sort of your traditional culinary cooking show. Live, home interior design, shopping, anything from fashion, to even maybe hair in makeovers.
Okay.
And then you move into play, which is really what is the Black audience like to do for fun.
Right.
We have a lot of iconic series that sort of fill that bucket. My Wife and Kids and Living Color. We love to laugh. We love music. We love sports. So we have our pillar of HBCU sports that lives on our network. And then most importantly, how does the Black audience dream? So when we look at our program, we look at sort of what bucket does it fit in? And then at the end of the day, we want our audience to leave feeling proud about what they've seen. Not necessarily positive, right? But something that you can say that's authentic and reflective of experience that I've had.
Yeah.
We often look for talent that's going to resonate. So if it doesn't work with the 12 people of color on my team, it's not going to work for the 35 million people out there in the households that we're in. And so we try to be very strategic to know and involve the entire team in that process of saying, what do you think about this? Take a look at this sizzle. And sometimes we get, you know, on the edge. But majority of the people will, if it's a good show, they'll be like, there's something there. Yeah. Let's move forward. Yeah. So those are sort of some of the filters that we look at. And of course, just engaging the entire team because we are the audience.
Thank you, Melissa, for that exclusive interview. Check out my full conversation with her and the rest of the ladies at WCLK.com. Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Terry J. Vaughn, April Love, and Melissa Ingram. I'd also like to thank Reva Blue, the voice of Casting Buzz, and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, March 23rd, for another exciting edition of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, everyone. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.